You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You're almost there. Turn to your neighbor and say, almost there. You're almost to break, yeah. Yeah, freshmen, it is good to see you. I don't know a lot of you, and it is awesome to have you with us here. It's good. Sophomores, good to see you. I don't know all of you super well either, but by the end of today, you will. Juniors and seniors, what's up? Good to see you. Yeah, good, good, good. I have some confessions to make right at the beginning. Some of you might agree with some of these. I don't know. One of them is I just confess right now that I like pineapple on my pizza. Anybody? Yeah. All right. I also have to confess to you that I think marshmallows are terrible. Anybody? Oh. I also confess just straight up that country music is not music. Yeah. Some people just laughed. I just wanted for the record. I am the youth ministry professor, but I also confess that lock-ins are of the devil. Yes, 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 yes. I also confess today that I love coffee better than tea. Anybody else? Coffee? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then this is the big one. It's about time I weighed in on this. The best chicken sandwich. It's Popeyes. It's not even close. It's not even close. Like my friend Lo Alamon, who spoke in chapel last semester, he says, it's like Popeyes. Popeyes makes Chick-fil-A look like an inexperienced dad trying to put together lunches for his kids, you know? It's like he loves them, but it ain't the same, right? It's not even close. Yeah, yeah. I have another confession to make, and we're going to talk a little bit about confession today, and that's that I'm tired. Anybody else tired? Yeah. I'm not just physically tired or kind of mentally tired, and all that's true, and thankfully we'll have a little break here. But I'm tired of Christians on campuses like this one, feeling like they have to perform all the time, of putting on these masks that we wear around and we try to pretend like we got it all perfect. I'm tired of the performance all the time. And I'm tired of that because what that often leads to is people carrying around stuff that's just eating them alive. I'm just tired of that, just to be real honest. And so today we're going to talk about what it might look like for us to throw some of that stuff off. So will you pray with me as we start? God, thank you for this day, for the opportunity to be together. God, I think of my brothers and sisters in this room who are carrying around some stuff. It's just eating them up. God, I pray that you would help us to choose you. We want the freedom that comes in the relationship with you. So God, I just pray that you would help us to say yes to that. May your spirit be the teacher today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn your Bibles with me to Numbers chapter 5, if you have a pew Bible, which you do in front of you, it's on page number 97. I'm helping you out today because I know you're tired. 97, or if you want to look it up, Numbers chapter 5. Numbers is one of the first five books of the Bible. It's called the Torah. And it's really important in our text because they called it the law, and it was the first of the things that were given from God to his people. And what most people say, most scholars would say, that everything we find in the New Testament has its roots in the Torah. And so it carries a lot of weight for us, and there's some interesting things going on I just want to start with. So Numbers chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 5. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way and so is unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed." He must confess the sin. So the word for confess, it's a Hebrew, I'm going to teach you a couple of Hebrew words today, is yad ha. Say yad ha. Oh, good. See, you're already speaking Hebrew. So if you say yada, 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 that's basically you're saying confess, confess, confess. Yad ha. And so the idea behind this word is confess. That is the right interpretation. But there's a kind of a picture that goes with this word, as with all Hebrew words. And the picture is this, that it's like you're casting something off. You're kind of throwing something. In other words, you're speaking something out of you. You're getting rid of it. That's the picture of confession. I'm going to teach you one other Hebrew word today. It's teshuva. Say teshuva. try it again louder, teshuva. That word means repentance, and the picture associated with that word is sort of a returning things to the way they're supposed to be. One way that it's pictured is sort of a returning our gaze in the right direction. So you can kind of imagine that picture of turning our gaze. We use these words, confession and repentance, quite a bit in our Christian circles. But I want to talk a little bit about this. So from the beginning in Numbers, God is showing us something really important, and that's that he understands that we're all connected. You're in relationship with each other, we're in relationship with God, and we're connected. And so what God seems to understand from the beginning is that we are intertwined. And so when the community, when somebody in the community isn't living who they're supposed to really be, when that person isn't living to the fullness of what God's created them to be, when they're carrying something around that's not really theirs, that they need to confess and get rid of, when they're doing that, they're not just hurting themselves, they're impacting the whole community. And so what God seems to understand from the very beginning of our scriptures is that you are important. And when you're not living who you're fully supposed to be, then you're impacting all the rest of us along the way. Sometimes people will say, you know, it doesn't really matter, Brian. You know, I have this thing with somebody. I haven't told anybody, but I'm feeling this way towards them. Or maybe it's this addiction that I have or whatever else. And they might say, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not really bothering anybody. It's just between me. It's just my thing. And to which I want to say to you, no, you are bothering other people. You're bothering all of us because you're not really who you're supposed to be. So just wonder today, do you have anything you need to confess, to repent, to let go of, to throw down? Flip in your Bibles, if you would, Psalm chapter 32. There's a beautiful picture from this guy named David. It's page 345, I think, in your Bibles, or 395. I can't read my writing. Psalm 32. David is this guy who was king of Israel, and most of us know the story pretty well. He slept with his neighbor's wife, basically. She got pregnant. He had this neighbor killed. It's like a Jerry Springer mess, right? You know, it's just all that weird stuff going on. And eventually, he gets confronted by his friend Nathan, who just basically says, look, I know you've done this. And so he confesses. And then he writes this psalm as kind of a response to that whole encounter. And here's what he says, Psalm 32, starting in verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. So he's talking about what it's like to let go of these things. This last phrase, no deceit, is this kind of this picture of somebody who's not lying, who's not pretending anymore, somebody who's living in like a totally open life. This is the picture. Blessed is the one who's willing to admit their stuff. He goes on, verse 3, when I kept silent, listen to this description, when I kept silent, in other words, when I knew I had done these things and I was carrying them around, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. So you have this picture here of bones wasting away, this heaviness that comes, this strength being sapped. It's like you're carrying around something that's really heavy all the time. I used to backpack all the time, and I had some friends that we would go a lot. And one time we took a couple newbies with us. We thought, this will be great. And one of them happened to be my boss, which wound up probably not being the wisest choice. But anyway, we're hiking, right? And the guy who was my boss, he was brand new at this, and he had brought in everything that you could ever imagine that he thought he might need. And so his pack weighed like 874 pounds, right? And he's just carrying this along, and it's like, we're like, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. But we can't go because he's just weighted down. This is sort of the picture, and you guys know this, you feel this. When we're holding on to stuff, it's like, it's just keeping us back. It's this weight. We're wasting away. And then he goes on, verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. See, carrying stuff around is not what God wants for you. What God wants for you is not that you're carrying all this stuff, that you're kind of walking this journey. What God wants for you is that you walk in freedom. So I'll ask again, do you have anything you're carrying around that you need to get rid of? Something you need to repent of, to confess of? You got anything that you're carrying around? One more passage I want to turn to today, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. That's page 825 in your Bible. Turn with me. Stay with me. You're doing great. 825, Galatians chapter 5. So this guy named Paul is trying to write this letter to these friends that are in this city called Galatia. And see, part of what Paul understood is that when we think we have to perform, Asbury, hear this. When we think we have to perform, when we think that the only way to really get God's love is we have to earn it, we got to keep doing stuff for it. When we live in that way, it's not a way of freedom at all. In fact, it's the opposite. It's just more slavery of a different kind. And can I propose today maybe that Paul might have been right about some things? And maybe for some of us here, we're pretending. We're putting on these masks. I'm not talking about the COVID mask. I'm talking about these lives that we're pretending to live that are keeping us from being who we're really supposed to be. So Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it's for freedom that Christ set you free. It's for freedom. It's not so that you could be free from one thing and just become a slave to something else. It's for freedom that you've been set free. And then he does something crazy. And this is where I really want you to stay with me, okay? In verse 19, he starts with this thing. And so he basically says this, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Let me pause right there. The acts of the flesh are obvious. And what he's noticing is this, that these friends of his are living in this way where they're carrying around all this stuff. And they, even though maybe they lived into freedom at one point, that they just keep coming back to these things that keep them enslaved to something else. See, if you read the Bible and you listen to God's Spirit, can I tell you what? God keeps insisting that you are fully loved and that you can live in freedom. God wants that for you. God wants that for us. God wants that for us as a community, that we as a community would live in love and in freedom. And perhaps for us today, maybe the call is for us to actually just accept the love and freedom that are already ours. So he starts in verse 19, and this, I'm just going to read through some of this and explain a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, this is going to sting a little bit. And the point of this isn't to put shame and guilt on you. The point of this for Paul is to name it. Because something happens when we name the things. We confess them, we get them out, we put words to them. When we name them, then we can move on from them. But until we name them, we can't. So the point of this is to name them and help us live in freedom. Verse 19, sexual immorality. Which is when we sleep with somebody who we aren't married to. When we're not giving all of ourselves to that person. That leads to brokenness and problems. Yeah, it leads to this kind of broken life that we carry around with us, and Paul knows it's not as good. Any impurity, just reading through this, and debauchery. The word debauchery here just means, it's like this idea behind this word is those things that when you don't have control. And some of us have been in these places where we have these addictions or these things, like when we're around a certain person, we just seem to can't say no. Or when we get around a certain thing, we can't. You know what I'm talking about? We can't move past that, right? And this is debauchery, this thing where whatever we get around that, we just seem to not, we lose our discipline, our control. This is what debauchery is. Verse 20, he goes on. Idolatry and witchcraft. Idolatry is just when we make a god out of something else. When something we own starts owning us. We have a few gods in our culture, don't we? Do you have any gods at Asbury? Sometimes we make gods of things that can be good, but we make them into something better, like our performance in classes. And sometimes we make gods out of our bodies, and sometimes we make gods out of our relationships, and sometimes we make gods out of these other things. You guys know what these are. idolatry. Hatred, discord. Discord's just non-unity. Thankfully, we don't have any of that in our world today, right? Yeah. Jealousy. We often think about jealousy as, man, I wish I had what you have, and that is obviously part of it. But it's a little bigger than that, too. It's like when something good happens to you and I don't celebrate with you, that's jealousy. You with me on this? When something really great has happened in your life and I am not happy with you, we both know it, don't we? That's jealousy. That's part of what Paul's talking about, is sometimes we step into these places where we just add more slavery, more things that bind us to our life. Fits of rage. Maybe we need to ask your roommate, how you doing with that? Or your family, your closest friends. This place where maybe we can't control our anger, our emotions, somehow we gets the best of us. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions. Factions is just, it's just this, like, when we use words to pull apart. Again, none of that in our world today, right? The Christian way of this is, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? And then we say, no, why don't you tell me so I can pray for them? Yeah. This place where we put division between us in relationships, whether it's between different groups of people or between us and somebody else. But we live in these places of factions for sure. Verse 21, he goes on, envy. When you try to be somebody that you're not, when you try to be somebody else. I sort of feel like this is its own Christian subculture. Maybe its own Asbury Club, where we just keep pretending to be or trying to be somebody we're not. Where we just keep putting on this mask day after day after day. In the meantime, we're carrying around all this stuff that's weighing us down, that becomes this incredible weight on us, and we're not who we're really supposed to be. And so the community is missing out on you being who you're supposed to be. And here we are, right next to somebody, maybe in a seat right here this morning, who's doing the exact same thing, carrying this around, pretending they're trying to be somebody they're not. They're not really owning who they really are. We have this phrase right up here, holiness under the Lord. And I think from my perspective, when I talk to a lot of students, they think holiness is about trying to be this perfect thing and pretend that you're perfect. Well, first of all, you're not perfect and we all know it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not perfect. But what holiness really is about is almost the exact opposite. Stay with me. Holiness is almost the exact opposite of this. Wesley said this, that holiness is really about confessing those things over and over and over again. Those things as God shows them to you that you're carrying around, those things that are broken in your life, of confessing those things over and over again, those are your sacrifices of praise. And when you keep confessing those things, what that does is it frees you from shame and sin and invites love to come in. Until you confess those things and admit those things, then you can't really experience this love that God has for you. And so what we do this all the time. We walk around with this stuff and we pretend like we know. And you guys are at Asbury. You know the right words. You know when to stand up and sit down. You know how to make your SLA get off your back when they're asking you to come to stuff. Or what, you know all the games. But here's my point, that we're carrying this stuff around, and it doesn't matter if anybody else knows and you've got everybody else fooled. What matters is you're not being who you're supposed to be. And it matters to all of us. And what I want to invite you into today, perhaps, is to move past this stuff and to let it go, to cast it off, to get it out. So I'll ask again, do you have anything today you need to confess? You need to get out? You need to lay down? You need to name it and move past it? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let me read it again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But we gotta get it out. We can't keep carrying it around. So my wife and I, we do this all the time. Like we're just, hey, I gotta tell you something. I gotta get something out. I gotta say this. I have a couple really good friends. We meet every week. This is part of what we do together. Hey, I got to get this out. This is what's going on in my life. I need to just be honest. This is what's happening. Do you have those people in those places in your life? Is there anything you need to get out? And I just want to name this, and I'm not trying to tell this story in any manipulative way at all, but, you know, it's not a coincidence that the revivals of Asbury, and really the revivals we know of, the great awakenings we know of in our country and in the world, all of them have that common element where people are confessing and getting things out. Not because they want to live in shame or guilt or they're embarrassed, but because they know they can live in freedom if you get it out. And I wonder today maybe if there's something you need to get out, to confess, to repent of. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So that you may be healed. I know that we're tired, Asbury, like mentally tired, emotionally tired, physically tired from the semester. But I'm tired of people carrying around this stuff. And some of them will come and talk to me and say, I'm carrying around this stuff, I don't know what to do about it. And then they'll walk out of my office and somebody else will come in and say, I'm carrying around this stuff, I don't know what to do with it. What if today you named it and you just cast it out, you put it down? What if today was a day where you started naming some of those things that are in your life and you know are there? And you just started confessing those things and repenting, turning your gaze away from those things. What if today was the day where that started happening? Where you started to step into freedom and into love? What if? So Asbury, do you have anything you need to confess, you need to repent of, you need to get out, to throw down? Some of you undoubtedly are thinking, hey, but if I confess that thing, then there's people around me who are going to see me differently. And some of you are wondering, like, what's so-and-so going to think if I actually come and do this? Or I was just telling so-and-so that they should do this, and now I'm, right? We walk around in fear of what everybody else thinks. Can I just say to you, forget all that. Live in freedom. Live in freedom. And part of what God will begin to do in you and through you, if you're willing to get that stuff out on a regular basis, is he will help you be an example to everybody else. I wonder sometimes if it would just take one or two people just to be honest about where they are, that might unlock something happening here at Asbury that's bigger than you or me or anything else. In just a minute, we're going to pray. The band's going to come. We're not taking long today. And here's the invitation. It's really simple. I want to invite you to come and confess some of those things, to get them out. There's some pieces of paper and pencils right here on the altar up here. There's nothing magical about an altar other than it's just space. But I want to challenge you today. Maybe there's some things that God's saying to you in your heart right now. Hey, there's some things that are between you and me, and we got to get those out. I want to challenge you to come and write them down. Get them out. Maybe today you need to go to somebody that you're in broken relationship with and say, you know what, I'm sorry I've done this. Maybe that's part of what needs to happen today. I don't know what it is specifically for you, but I want to invite you to quit carrying that stuff around, to throw it down, to cast it out, to get rid of it so that God can begin to move you past shame and sin and into love and freedom. I wonder today, let's pray together. God, as we move to this time of prayer together, I pray that you would invite us to be vulnerable and real with you. You know, the easy thing is for us to pretend like this chapel didn't just happen. The easy thing is just to say, okay, we're just gonna wait 5 more minutes for this song to go, and then this kind of feeling I have might just fade away. But God, I pray that you would give us courage just to stand up and come down and just be honest with you and with ourselves about what's really going on. To confess those things, to get them out. Quit carrying them around like this giant weight that's just eating us alive. God, we want to be the kinds of people who live in freedom, freedom that are brought by your Son, Jesus Christ. Invite us into that today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. The altar is open.